Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Wait a minute, it's Tuesday. Hold it a minute. It's Tuesday. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I know that most of the people in America are finally coming back from the long summer vacation. And if you've just come back, welcome back to reality. This is the Savage Nation. Now, I want to tell you something. Last Friday on this show, when most of the audience was away, I'd say I had a 50% of the audience was still around, I asked the question, is it over for McCain? I have never been hit with so much anger as I have with this question, simply for questioning this inexperienced nobody selection for vice president. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to change my opinion for popularity, and I'll explain why. I will explain to you what it means to be a true independent rather than just saying you're independent. There's a lot of phonies out there in the radio business and in the print media who are saying they're suddenly independents. They're independent, my eye. They're following the Republican or the Democrat drummers. Period. I am an independent, and I call him the way I see him. And by the way, I have paid for my independence. The real mark of an independent is someone who pays for his independence, not someone who gets paid for his independence. So let me begin with that, and I'll ask the question again. And I was the first in the major media to ask, at least on this side of the aisle, is it over for McCain? I got to tell you, I've never seen a bigger mistake in my life. And I'll tell you something else. And I'll say it here and I'll say it loud. I don't care what Dobson says. I don't care what the anti-abortion crowd says. I have a bigger audience than all of them put together. And it doesn't matter to me whether or not I am quoted by the nobodies in Time magazine or the New York Times. I'll tell you something else. My book, Psychological Nudity, in 1 week, with almost no audience, has outsold Nancy Pelosi's book. And the book isn't even printed yet. That's the power of the Savage Nation. I want to thank you for it. Now, if you are empowered as a member of the Savage Nation, understand that you can't agree with everything I say all of the time. And I'm going to explain to you why this choice of this unknown woman, Sarah Palin, is the biggest mistake McCain has made yet, and he's made a lot of them. And I will tell you something else, and I'll say it right here and right now in the Savage Nation. And I'll say it right now. The smartest thing in the world for Sarah Palin to do would be to announce that she's withdrawing to take care of her child. She could leave with dignity. She could say upon further thought, and by the way, it's true, she has a child with Down syndrome. She could say, looking ahead, I have to devote myself to my child. I'm a family first woman, and although I love the opportunity, I have to withdraw. Then let McCain use his brain. Can McCain use his brain? I am 100% right, and I'll explain it to you. Why did I say last Friday, and you can read my editorial on michaelsavage.com, did McCain commit political suicide? Well, today's monologue is this. Is it over for McCain? And I'll read you what I wrote this morning. The Republicans can pretend that the media has turned against them. The Republicans can pretend that they used the hurricane as an excuse to avoid coverage of the convention. They can pretend that only evil, sexist, misogynists are against Sarah Palin. But the truth is that McCain's cronies have made a fatal choice. They ran this gal up the flagpole, and the poll broke from shock. McCain did not want Sarah Palin as his VP. He wanted Joe Lieberman. And as insane as it sounds, even Joe Lieberman would have been a better choice than Sarah Palin. He would have been stronger on national defense. He would have been stronger on fighting Islamofascism. And for all his far-left views, Lieberman taught his daughter well enough so that she didn't get pregnant as a teenager. But the Republican puppet masters gave Sarah Palin the nod instead. They thought women were generic, but Sarah is not Hillary to the millions of Clinton loyalists. Let me repeat that. And I am an independent conservative through and through. The Republicans thought women were generic, but Sarah Palin is not Hillary Clinton, to the millions of Clinton loyalists. You know, in ancient Rome, the publicans were contractors for the military and public works. They were the KBR of their time. Now, the Republicans are into contracting as well, and they seem to have taken out a contract on the presidential candidacy of John McCain. He could have been a contender. He could have been someone, but the powers that be have said, let Obama win, and that is exactly what John McCain seems to be doing. It is time for Sarah Palin to gracefully withdraw from this campaign. She is sinking McCain to the bottom of the sea. Let him pick a seasoned Iraq war veteran, if he must, someone who has led an army, not someone who's led a dog sled. This is Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue. Now, we keep reading about Palin's, the scandal about Palin, the scandal about the child, the scandal about the daughter, the scandal about the child and whose it is. You know, it's terrible that they would bring it up, but as you understand, that's how politics works. But, you know, as I looked at the Palin children's story and adoption, and I said, well, at least they kept this child. They didn't abort the child, and that's wonderful. That is fabulous. And that's all well and good. But I'm going to tell you a story right now, and it's a segue out of politics into the personal and then back to politics again. So please indulge me. In my autobiography, which is 75 stories from my life called Psychological Nudity, which, by the way, has already outsold in advance orders Nancy Pelosi in 1 week with half the audience. My book has already outsold Nancy Pelosi's book. Thank you, Savage Nation. That shows you the power of this audience, the power of my website, and the power of truth to power. I represent truth to power. Nancy Pelosi was on every show in the world. Larry, this one, Good Morning America, and no one wanted to buy her screed. How is it that my book has sold so well? I'll tell you how. And I'm going to make this very fast. There was a chapter in my book called Fat Pat and Tippy the Dog. And I'm not going to read you the chapter. It's in the new book. And do you know, this morning, the typesetter was going to send the story to the printer. And guess what? I called my sister. We grew up together. And I told her about the story of Fat Pat and Tippy, who would jump on his leg and bark and bite. And this guy, Fat Pat, was a lovable giant sort of a guy. And I knew that he was a bookie. I didn't know what else he had done. And she reminded me about something else. And I added this to the story. And I'm going to read you what I added because you're going to see how it relates right back to the presidential election. So remember now, one guy in particular now, page 18 of the new book, drove Tippy insane. I don't know why Tippy focused on Fat Pat, I wrote, but he did. Fat Pat must be dead 20 years now. This guy was like a character out of The Sopranos. You know, he had a size 25 neck. Rumor had it, he was a bookie. Fat Pat always seemed to have something shady going on the side, if you know what I mean. Still, we kids loved him. He was just a lovable giant sort of a guy, always laughing, always good for a joke. Don't ask me why, but Tippy the Mad Dog especially loved him, too. When Tippy went into heat, if Fat Pat was sitting in the living room, Tippy the Dog would jump on Fat Pat's leg and grab it with his huge paws. The two of them would go crazy in the living room. Tippy would start rocking and rolling on Pat's leg. Pat would laugh and laugh, rolling his head back on the soft couch. Now picture a fat guy rolling back laughing as the dog's humping his foot. The women are screaming. I'm busting up. My mother gets a broom and starts hitting the dog. She chases Tippy with the broom like a samurai warrior. She'd yell, "Get out of here. What are you, an animal?" We'd lock Tippy up in the basement. He'd be barking and making noise like he was King Kong down there. Everyone else would go back to the coffee and the cake. Now listen to what I added this morning, and you're going to see why I added it. But going back to Fat Pat, he worked in a seedy hotel as a night clerk, but he was really a pimp. Now, you immediately think he's a bad guy, right? But listen to this before you jump to conclusions. He and his wife could not have children. But then one day, Pat brought home a little girl from his hotel. A little girl who was the product of one night's lust with one of the girls from the hotel. He and his wife raised that little girl as though she was their own. But wait, it gets better. Years later, Fat Pat brought home another child from his hotel. This time, an infant boy from Hotel Lust. His wife's sister raised that child for her entire life, as if that boy was her own. Now, years later, after Pat died, that adopted girl took care of her mother right up until her mother's last day. Do you think today's soul-deprived world would see a pimp bringing home a love child to raise until the end of his days? Whether the two children were from unknown Johns or were in fact Pats with one of the working girls remains an unknown fact to this day. But I'll say this. In those days, even a procurer seemed to have more honor than do the politicians of today. And that's from Fat Pat and Tippy the Dog from Psychological Nudity, the new best-selling book from Michael Savage on www.michaelsavage.com. That's what it means to be a true independent. Rather than just saying you're independent, rather than just going along with the marching orders and saying Sarah Palin's great, I am glad she's a gun shooter. I'm glad she's an all-around great gal. She has no experience to run this country. None whatsoever. I have more experience than she does, and I'm not running for office because I understand what it takes. Now, if this woman doesn't understand that she's not qualified for the job, it's up to me to tell the Republicans, wake up, you idiots. You ran her up the flagpole, and the poll broke from shock. Obama's at 50% for the first time. McCain is down to 42%. What do you think explains this surge, John? It's the choice of Sarah Palin. She's a loser. Get her out of there and pick someone qualified. I'm Michael Savage. Be here. Savage. Now, on Friday, when you weren't here, I wrote and I spoke, is McCain throwing the election? Let me explain something. I'm not in love with McCain, but I absolutely will never vote for Obama. Never. I might vote in this election, but I'll vote for everything but the presidency. That's my decision. Your decision is something else, and that's for you to decide. But when I saw this selection by McCain, I said, this is a suicidal step. And I wrote, McCain has thrown the election. Why else would he blah, 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 blah. So I said, you have a guy like McCain whose strength is his experience. He's moving ahead for the last few weeks by hammering Obama, who he calls inexperienced, which is true. And so to defy all logic, McCain undermines his strongest suit by selecting a political neophyte who waters down his key advantage over Obama. And so I wrote, and I even said, I knew that I'd get calls saying, Mike, she's a real conservative. Mikey's just doing that because he knows he has to pander to win. Mike, isn't it great that he picked a woman? The answer, I said Friday, was wrong, wrong, wrong. Picking someone because of their sex instead of their ability is the same kind of affirmative action insanity that the Democrats have shoved down our throats for ages. We don't want a panderer, we want a president. Now, I also wrote, if he had chosen a woman who was a real nationalist with a real resume, I would have said right on John. But McCain has dropped the ball, thrown in the towel, and raised the white flag, and a generation of Americans will pay for his mistake. Don't you understand that I, Michael Savage, am trying to advise the dummies who are undermining McCain? Don't make the mistake to think they're not listening to this show. They may fear me in the sense that they don't want me anywhere near McCain, and I can understand that. I'm too hot to handle. But certainly they understand the power of an audience of this size. 8 to 10 million loyal listeners, despite all of the rubbish thrown at me from the liberals, the audience is still here, and they're still listening, and they all vote. Now, what you vote is your business. I don't even want to know how you vote. But I'll tell you right now, it's clear to me that this choice was a disaster. I said it Friday. Now others are starting to say maybe Mike was right or they didn't even hear me and they're starting to come to their senses. The fact of the matter is she has a choice. In order for McCain to even have a chance, she must now withdraw as fast as possible. She will be forgotten, by the way. You got to remember that about 2 years ago, George Bush chose a hack to be a Supreme Court justice by the name of, who remembers her? Harriet Myers, his personal attorney from Texas. I raised ire on this show, and I called Harriet Myers, certainly not a bad woman, I don't know her, but I called her a nonentity, not qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. And very soon thereafter, Harriet Myers' name, thank God, was withdrawn. And we got two very fine Supreme Court justices. They're there now, and they've done a great job. She was never qualified for the job, but the intelligence that was there had the sense to withdraw Harriet Myers' name. I pray that the same intelligence exists within the McCain camp. I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't care how good Palin is. I don't care what a wonderful person she is. I would not want Sarah Palin running this country if John McCain died in office. He's an old man. Let's be clear. It's the unspoken reality. He will be the oldest man ever to be the president. And the fact of the matter is, the statistics are not very good. Therefore, he needed a younger person, someone who could take the reins of this nation. God forbid something happened to him. And the fact is, there was only one candidate who could have won this ticket over, and that would have been McCain/Romney. The evangelicals oppose Romney because they don't like Mormons, something I will never understand, nor do I want to understand it. I don't want anyone's religion standing between my government and the right choices for my government. The fact of the matter is, Romney is the only choice for McCain to win. None of the other people can win. They have absolutely no charisma and no chance to bring anyone to the booth. Romney could do it. Now, am I a friend of Romney? I don't know Romney. Has Romney been on my show? No. Romney's treated you the same way as McCain has. You don't exist. They don't want to know you. Go where you came from. We don't like real rock rib conservatives. We don't like nationalists, says Romney. That's okay. Doesn't bother me. I want a good president, and I want a good vice president, should God forbid the president fall ill or become debilitated. And that man is Romney. Why? Governor of the state of Massachusetts, not Alaska. Self-made, very wealthy man, not given to him, not inherited. Good-looking, telegenic, projects a good image, great family. He could sweep this election for the Republicans, certainly not for the conservative cause, but it would be better than the communist Marxist cause that Obama represents. This is Michael Savage. Did you hear what I just said? Is it over for McCain? And by the way, did you happen to hear my story about the so-called pimp who took home two love children from a house of ill repute and raised them as his own? Have you ever heard of anything like this? Have you ever read of anything like this? Have you ever seen this in a movie? The answer is no, you haven't. Because just as my stories are from Life 101, and just as my stories are original, and each one of the 75 stories could be an entire movie if it was fleshed out, I am an original, as are my stories. So forgive me if I don't sound like another Republican lockstepper, because I am not. And I will not simply dance to a tune because the puppet masters are playing that song. That's not my song. I'm not Karl Rove, and I'm not a commentator on television. I'm here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. You know, being a true independent means that you have to take risks. It would be very easy for me to say, well, you know, she's wonderful. She's a gun owner and a member of the NRA, which is all good. And she's run Alaska, which is, as complicated as running, let's say, California or New York. And she's just a terrific woman who can easily run the U.S. military and the economy. Well, if that's what you believe, my friends, you are sadly mistaken. And I'll switch to the other side for a moment. The guy from Delaware, whose name I forget for a minute, Joe Over Biden. I've never been a fan of Biden because he strikes me as a very mean guy. He can't even mask it. But that's irrelevant. Everyone in politics is the same. In order to get where you to that position, you have to be a very mean person. Behind the scenes, or you're not going to be there. Biden is a smokestack Democrat from the old school. But frankly, Biden's been around for 30 years. You want to ask me who I'd rather have taking control as commander-in-chief? You want to compare Biden to this woman, Sarah? I take Biden in a heartbeat. And the reason is because he has experience with all of these committees. You know, it's not just a matter of what your policies are. It's a matter of whether you get your policies across to this cumbersome machinery called the Congress. We have a very cumbersome system. And by the way, the founders made it cumbersome so that there couldn't be an immediate dictatorship. The machinery of government moves very slowly, but you need someone to know how to grease the wheels. I don't think Sarah Palin knows how to grease anything but the skids on a dog sled. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thomas, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
All right. Let me tell you one thing that McCain did to the entire Republican Party is now he has the Republican Party defending unwed teenage pregnancies. You know, everybody saying, well, it ain't that bad. It used to be terrible. Now, oh, it's okay, you know. I mean,
I hear you. That's very interesting. Now suddenly it's the party of a single momhood.
Yeah. So you keep
there you go.
That.
All right, you make another point that's interesting. New York City, Paulette. I don't know whether she agrees or disagrees. Welcome to the Savage Nation on WOR, Paulette. Go ahead.
I'm with you 100%, Mr. Savage, and I'm with the last person that was just on the telephone. It is not okay that a 17-year-old girl is pregnant. Not if you're a conservative and not if you're an American. It wasn't okay in 1950. It wasn't okay in 1960. It's not okay now.
Well, wait a minute. So you say, are you saying she should have gotten an abortion?
No, not at all. But it's not okay for her mother to be the governor and for her to be in the sack with somebody?
Well, wait a minute. Hold. Let's slow down for a minute. I know some wonderful people whose children have made bad choices, and you don't blame the parents for the children. Any more than a parent shouldn't take too much credit for a successful child, I don't think a parent should take too much blame for a child who makes some mistakes. You know, there are children who do their own thing, and no matter what, you try to lead them the best you can. So I don't buy that argument. That the mother's responsible for the pregnancy of her teenager. On the other hand, we agree that something is amiss in this whole message system. For the Republicans to suddenly be rushing around a pregnant teenager like this is frankly embarrassing. Thank you for the call. That's all. San Francisco, Kamal, your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation on my home station of KNEW.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. Over the weekend, I've been pondering the whole question about Sarah Palin. The fact is, I do like her character and everything, but the point is, and you're 100% right, is the experience. Because I used to be a Democrat, and the thing is, before I became an independent Christian conservative, I'm a Democrat then, or now, I would look at Sarah Palin as a nice person, blah, blah, blah. But when you compare her to Joe Biden, I mean, Biden would be the guy I would want to be the commander-in-chief because, I mean, McCain
is... All right, so you're repeating what I just said. That's okay. I wouldn't expect otherwise. But let's get something new here. 1-800-449-8255. So where do you want to go from here? You want me to play Marlon Brando and Rod Steiger from On the Waterfront? Because... if you don't know the movie, it's important I remind you about that. Would you like me to read another story from Psychological Nudity? Can I take time out to say, can you believe what I wrote today about a pimp who brings home an infant from a house of ill repute and raises that child for his entire life, and after he dies, after Pat dies, that adopted little girl takes care of the mother right up until her last day? Do you think that you've read of this anywhere, heard of this anywhere? And I watch every movie ever made on the cable channels. What I'm saying to you is that life was so different in America when I grew up. Maybe that explains why I'm out of step with the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Perhaps that explains it in a nutshell. Maybe I've just had a satori, a sudden understanding of who I am. Maybe I grew up in a time when politicians, although they were out for themselves, did not cross a certain line. There was a line that a politician would never cross. And my friends, I don't see that kind of honor and I don't see that kind of dignity in today's political leadership. In fact, my friends, as I laid out to you in that little story that I added just this morning as the manuscript was going to the printer to show you how alive this manuscript is with me, I would say that that pimp, Fat Pat, had more honor than most of the people in political office today. How do you explain that? How do you explain that even a pimp in those days had honor? How do you explain these things? How do you understand these things unless you grew up in a time when there was such a thing called honor and respect, and that a man would rather kill himself than do certain things? A man would rather throw himself off a bridge than drop to a certain level. And politicians, as I said to you, they were all out for themselves or representing interests. We understood that. But I'm talking about the 50s when I grew up, and even the early 60s before the Communist Revolution hit America in the 60s. And make no mistake about it, we are still reverberating from the Communist Revolution of the 1960s. And Obama represents a continuum on that line of socialist communism. It would be the death knell for the United States of America for the Obama socialists to win this election. That is why I'm so passionate about this disastrous era that John McCain and his cronies made by selecting Sarah Palin, who apparently he never met until 15 minutes before the choice was made. And that was because he originally wanted Lieberman. No, my friends, even the worst mistake can still be rectified. And the mistake can be rectified in only one way. And that comes from Michael Savage, who knows what he's talking about. She has to withdraw. He doesn't fire her. He doesn't say, I made a mistake. That's the end of the road for him. She withdraws, and quickly, quickly, before this cancer spreads. She withdraws and she says, upon further consideration of my poor child who has Down syndrome, I have to devote myself to her over the next four or so years. And I can't do both. For the sake of my child, again, you trump the Democrats. For the sake of my child, I'm withdrawing from this nomination. Thank you, America. I hope to see you in a number of years. Then John McCain brings in Romney, and we have an election that's a fight again. We have a fighting chance to get a modicum of America back. And make no mistake about it, there's a difference between my kind of criticism, which is constructive criticism, and destructive criticism, which is what the midstream media specializes in. 1-800-449-8255. My website is still always michaelsavage.com. There are many other stories which I can't even get to. There's another major league story here, which is that in trade market sees 12% chance Palin will be withdrawn. That just came out minutes ago in the Washington Post. A poll, an internet polling company, says a small chance that Palin will be withdrawn. I think it's much higher, by the way. Beneath that is a story from San Francisco. Libs release immigrant crack dealer because he was so cute and cuddly. That's my headline. Illegal alien hired by Texas lawmaker wanted in fatal beating. Savage donates $5,000 to Danielle Bologna. That's the poor lady whose husband and two sons were slain by the illegal alien, a murderer here in San Francisco. And our great mayor didn't even come and say hello to her at the funeral, nor did our great governor, the faker maker. Arnold Fakermaker didn't come to that funeral either. It's up on the website. Women being attacked on San Francisco streets in broad daylight. There has been a spate of burglaries happening over and over again now where people are running up to women in so-called good neighborhoods, knocking them over the head and stealing their pocketbooks. That's the great city of San Francisco. Russia, Shashkevili, no longer Georgia president. Syria and Iran are warning of a catastrophic effect of any Israeli strike in Iran. I don't believe a word of it. They have no power whatsoever. Because if Israel does what Israel must do, which is take out Iran's nuclear capacity forever, or as to slow it down, the next thing they'll do is take out Syria if they have to. And I'm all for it. I do not want to see Islamo-fascist nations getting stronger. I'd rather see them getting weaker. Here's another story on michaelsavage.com. Brothers admit to plundering corpses in Philadelphia. Oh, God. Body of Masterpiece Theater host Alastair Cook were among those sold to a company that trafficked in stolen body parts. That's the America of today. Oh, boy, it's getting worse. California prisons rethink rules for gay marriage. Now that homosexuals can get married in California, state prison officials are trying to figure out what that means for gay inmates. Maybe we have to provide wedding cakes in prisons now. Well, let's go down the list here, see what else is on michaelsavage.com that's new. Is McCain throwing the election? We'll have more for you as the day goes on. Let's go to the callers. 1-800-449-8255, Chicago, Illinois, Marcos on WIND. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm surprised no one has ever asked this question. If you were to add more characters to The Political Zoo, which, by the way, is one of my favorite books, who would they be? And if you were to add more characters, how would you depict Barack Obama?
Wow, what animal would he be? That's a great question. Well, I would do it on the basis of a caricature. I'm not one to think this through and come up with a politically correct answer. What is the key feature about Obama that stands out when you think of him? Physiologically, what stands out about Obama?
He's very slim, slender, I think maybe a giraffe.
He's got very big ears. And if he were a Republican, I can guarantee you, the cartoonists of America, who are all left-wing fanatics, would have projected him as some large-eared animal, whatever that might be, perhaps a rabbit. He could easily be turned into a rabbit. So it would be, the other animals in the zoo would now have a hair. Would that work for you?
Perhaps it's like the rabbit in Alice in Wonderland.
Well, I haven't thought about it, but political zoo, too, is probably not a bad idea. A number of people have dropped out of the political scene and should be dropped out, but there's certainly a lot of new characters who can go into it. And Obama would certainly be chief among them. You know, I even have Nancy Pelosi in there, incidentally. I should go get a copy of the book and see what I wrote and see if I want to remove it right now. Maybe it's better or worse. I don't really know. But thank you. Hey, Marcos, you love Political Zoo, which, by the way, of my four books, was the most recent. Have you looked at psychological nudity on the website yet?
I have not, sir. I have not looked at it yet, but I'm sure it's one of those great books that
No. Here's an interesting question. I'm curious. How come you haven't gone and looked? I'm curious.
Oh, just quite frankly, I've just been really busy at work.
See? That's right. And last week was a slow week in radio. Well, this is the week to get in to michaelsavage.com and place your order now, Marcos, for one reason. It is not being sold in bookstores at least until January 2009. It is only available through my website. And I have to set the printing order within the next few days. And I don't want to disappoint you. It's as simple as that. It's real. It's as real as I'm telling it to you. If you want the book, you better order it because it's not going to be available for the holidays, I don't think, unless I can get a second run in. I'd rather do it all at once. Now let's go on. Here's a disagreeer. Doesn't agree with me at all. New York City, Bernardo, you're on the Savage Nation. You're up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, and I'm over a 10-year listener. You are my oracle of truth, like a spiritual dad. And as a spiritual son, I'm going to humbly ask you to please let me make a small case, if I may. The following is the truth, Mr. Savage. Mr. Obama is the real unknown here. The media is concealing many, many things about his heritage, about his true associations. His only executive experience was sitting on the Chicago Annenberg Challenge group.
But Bernardo, I know this. That's why I'm so adamant about getting Sarah Palin off the ticket. I don't want Obama to win. Don't you understand?
You taught me two important things, Dr. Savage, that I remember distinctly daily. One, can you hear me, Dr. Savage?
Yes.
You taught me two important things, that a team that fights against itself cannot win. And you also...
That's right. Sarah Palin is splitting the team, making it impossible for conservatives to vote for her. Look, she may be very conservative. That doesn't mean she should be vice president.
But you also said that the ones who will save our future, including the Middle East, are women. This woman is galvanizing the Hispanic vote, white vote, women's vote.
Wait a minute. Why would she galvanize the Hispanic vote? When did she become Hispanic?
I'm of Hispanic heritage. I'm American who was born in Puerto Rico, but I listen to talk radio.
Wait, I'm missing something. Where did you read or hear that Sarah Palin is suddenly galvanizing the Hispanic vote? Where did that come from, Bernardo?
Number one, the Hispanic vote. I was listening to talk radio, and the great majority of the callers are writing checks and backing up McCain.
Wait a minute. I'm not hearing you, but you're telling me something that's probably not true. I don't believe for a minute that Sarah Palin is suddenly galvanizing voters. I think it's pure hype coming from the Republican Party and being told to the lockstepers in talk radio who say what they want them to say, Bernardo.
May I tell you why, Dr.
Bernardo, wait a minute. Bernardo, please. If we respect each other, which we do, and I hope we'll leave as friends, and I know we will, friends can disagree. We're not liberals. We don't have to hate each other if we disagree. McCain has plummeted in the polls over the last couple of days. Obama has surged in the polls over the last couple of days. And, you know, here is a convention that was supposed to have given McCain a bump. Instead, it's giving McCain a lump. Why is that?
Dr. Savage, she's only been known for 3 days to most of us.
Correct, and the poll numbers are showing it. In these 3 days, Obama's up and McCain is down.
You listen to, because I know for a fact the Republicans' donations have quadrupled. She has made $10 million.
Again, here we go again. Republican donations, but not Republican voters, not independent voters. I am telling you, Bernardo, I have the best stethoscope to the independents of America. No one can beat me. And they're not galvanizing themselves around an unknown dog sledder from Alaska. Thank you, my friend. I'll be right back. That's what's going on outside the Republican National Convention. These are the parasites and the leeches of American society who want more money. They want to take money away from the military, and they want us to pay for them to go screech and bang their drums and smoke their dope. You know my feelings on these people is that they're the ones who should be doing the dirty work in America. They're the ones who shouldn't be getting welfare. They're the ones who should be picking the crops, cleaning the toilets, working in the meatpacking plants. It's these shrilly liars and socialists who are able-bodied, who instead of protesting should be working a good 8 to 10 hours a day and earning their keep instead of me paying to earn their keep. But that's what's going on in America, and that's why Obama must be stopped. And that's why I'm trying to advise the McCain campaign. Anyone can make a mistake. You know, I read this when I was a kid. Anyone can make a mistake. But anyone who makes the same mistake twice is an idiot. I read that in high school. I tried never to make the same mistake twice. McCain has just made a mistake with a very bad choice. He can end this mistake by having Palin withdraw and having a highly recognizable, very experienced Mitt Romney announced as the vice presidential pick. It will be forgotten that there was ever a Palin, just as Harriet Myers has been forgotten, so will Palin be forgotten. Then there's a fighting chance for a moderate, very moderate, middle-of-the-road Republican administration as opposed to a far-left, unknown administration of Obama. This is Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. My website is michaelsavage.com. I suggest you review the articles and get back to me in a very few minutes, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And he came down my dressing room and said, "Kid, this ain't your night. We're going for a price on Wilson. You remember that? This ain't your night." My night? I could have taken Wilson apart. So what happens? He gets the title shot outdoors in a ballpark, and what do I get? A one-way ticket to Palookaville. You was my brother, Charlie. You should have looked out for me a little bit. You should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have to take them dives for the short-end money.
Well, I had some bets down for you. You saw some money.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a bum, which is what I am. Let's face it.
Well, that's Marlon Brando in On the Waterfront. Great movie, great scene. Why am I playing it? Do I have to tell you why? Because somebody's taken a fall in this election. I have feared this for months because every time McCain has surged ahead, he has somebody advised him to do something which has driven him down in the polls. I've seen it over and over, and I'm not blind. I'm not blind. Every time this guy moved up, one of his Brutuses has stabbed him in the back with bad advice. In fact, one of them jumped ship 3 months ago, went to work for Obama. I'm not blind. I'm an independent. I'm Michael Savage. I don't listen to the Republican Party. I send back any mailing from any political party, and I tell them to close the borders and get back to me. So far, they haven't gotten back to me. So that's the bottom line here. But the fact of the matter is, I believe that McCain could have been a contender. He could have been president. He still could. But something has to happen. It has to happen this week, and that is Palin has to withdraw her name. She has to say that she has thought about her child. The child needs a tremendous amount of care, and the child has to come first, and she's sorry. Maybe she'll be able to do this in years to come. And then McCain cannot be attacked for having changed his mind. Then he picks Romney and the race is on again. Unless he does it, my friends, it's over. That's one man's opinion. I know that many of you don't agree with me. Many of you have your own reasons for disagreeing with me. But you have to accept one thing. This is my show. I have a pretty good feel for America, particularly conservative America. I don't need to go to a pollster or listen to anyone else's show to come up with my own conclusions. I can think for myself, as you can think for yourself. And I'm telling you, this is a disaster. That's my opinion. What's yours? New York City, WOR. New York City, WOR? No. Yeah? Okay. Chicago. New York, Bob, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, you are absolutely right on all these topics. I wish you could become an advisor to McCain's organization. Maybe he'd smarten up a little bit.
Yes, I should have been part of his kitchen cabinet, and he wouldn't have made these mistakes, and I've seen them. Look, McCain, for all of his failings, is a wonderful patriotic American going back to the time of his father and his grandfather. That isn't lost on me that he comes from a distinguished military family. I love the man for that reason. He's a politician first, but he's also a patriot first. And that's inseparable for me. And I love the man. But the fact of the matter is, this choice will sink his ability to become president.
I agree with you. That's why I called. I think the one thing that's amazing to me, it's just like if you were to pick a CEO for a major corporation in the United States. They don't pick somebody that has for 2 years run a local grocery store and said, oh, they've run a great grocery store and made money, so now they can run, you know, an IBM or an AT&T.
Well, Bob, here's where I'm afraid I have to disagree with you. Corporations are increasingly picking unqualified people simply for affirmative action reasons and to make their brochures look good, that the brochure should look like they're very, very politically correct. Now, I don't want that when it comes down to my nation's security, because we're coming up against very, very serious problems in this country. I think far more serious than we've ever had. And I want a rock solid team. I don't want any iffy team.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I just meant that to pick somebody, you know, with a couple days, you know, in the vetting.
Look, if you and I are feeling this, that means millions of people feel the same way. Despite what the Republicans are putting out, it's a mistake. And you can change a mistake at any time simply by changing the mistake. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Stephen, Charleston, South Carolina. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I just had a quick question for you about your book that you were talking about a little earlier, how you stated that the pimp who was humped by your dog, how he had honor by taking in the kids that the women that he was pimping, you know, had. How I just wanted to understand how exactly you feel that he had honor by doing that.
Well, precisely because he was a fallen man, precisely because he was in a despicable field of endeavor, despite the fact that he was basically dealt in human flesh, he redeemed his lowly position in life by not throwing the baby into a dumpster as too many people do today, by not taking the woman for a back-alley abortion. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but he continued to pimp these women at the same
but,
time.
But the life, the two lives that I'm talking about, that in our day, would you ever hear of such a story as this, Steve?
I seriously doubt it.
But don't you understand that although the man himself is a fallen man, lower than, let's say, you or I, but that's for God to judge anyway. You gauge a man over his whole life, not over a particular one or two things that he does. But let's say on the face of it, he's lower than anyone listening to this show because he's a pimp. But the pimp redeemed himself by taking home children from the house of ill repute and raising them as his own, Steve. I think it's a phenomenally uplifting story in its own way.
You know what, after listening to you, I guess I had to agree with you, but I was just...
In other words, I'm not glorifying his endeavor as a pimp. I'm saying that even this lowly pimp took home children from a house of ill repute and raised them in that day that I grew up in. They didn't say to the girl, go get an abortion, or take the baby and throw it in a dumpster, as some girls do after a disco night. Thanks for the call. I guess many of you just tuned in, so you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to read the paragraph again, okay? I was completing my book, Psychological Nudity, to the last second today. It's going to the printer. And I spoke to a family member, my sister, and I told her the story about Fat Pat and Tippy the dog, okay? I'm not going to read that story again. And Fat Pat, we knew, was in something shady, but I didn't know what. I really didn't know. And then my sister said to me, don't you know what he really did? I said, I thought he was a night clerk in a hotel and he was sort of a bookie. She said, no, he was a pimp. I said, you're kidding me. She said, but wait, I'll tell you a little bit more about it. And I wrote this after she told it to me. But going back to Fat Pat, he worked in a city hotel as a night clerk, but he was really a pimp. Now, you immediately think he's a bad guy, right? But listen to this before you jump to conclusions, I wrote. He and his wife could not have children. One day, Pat brought home a little girl from his hotel, a little girl who was the product of one night's lust with one of the girls from the hotel. He and his wife raised that little girl as though she was their own. But wait, it gets better. Years later, Fat Pat brought home another child, this time an infant boy from hotel lust. His wife's sister raised that child as if he were her own. Years later, after Pat died, that little adopted girl took care of her mother right up until her last dying day. Do you think today's soul-deprived world would see a pimp bringing home a love child to raise until the end of his days? Whether the two children were from unknown Johns or were in fact Pat's with one of the working girls remains an unknown fact to this day. I happen to think it's an uplifting and beautiful story which shows redemption. And it also shows a love for life. In addition to a lust for life, it shows a love for life. Don't you understand what I'm getting at? And that's what I say, Savage Radio Stories, and it ties right back to my independent streak. Look, I grew up in another time. The world was different. As I said to you, politicians were different. They wouldn't cross a certain line. There was a Rubicon. They wouldn't go over into the other side. Today, too many politicians crossed the Rubicon. We had Bob Dole working for the United Arab Emirates. Now, he was a war hero. You talk about redemption from Fat Pat the pimp who redeems himself by bringing the children home. How about Bob Dole, war hero, who becomes a lower than a pimp, in my opinion, by going to work for the United Arab Emirates to sell the Dubai ports deal? You know, a man's life can be redeemed, and it can also be sent the other direction, all by what you choose to do. And so can an election go up or down by what you choose to do. And that's the point of today's program. Now, I call the book Psychological Nudity, but I got news for you. Beowulf, could you play the introduction to the Savage Nation for a minute where it goes, Psychological Nudity, just for a second? I want people to hear where this comes from so they get it, finally understand it. Okay, I know it takes a few minutes. Look, I'm very excited over this today because this is a big mistake. They got to fix it fast. The McCain camp cannot be deaf, dumb, and blind and make believe you don't exist. I exist. You exist. Millions of listeners are going to vote according to their own will. Listen to the opening now.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, hold it. Psychological nudity. Now, for 15 years, I've opened my show with that phrase, psychological nudity. And although many of my ideas have been picked up by others without credit, I don't really care because I'm like the Lao Tzu of radio. I don't care who gets the credit as long as the ideas get out there. No one has stolen psychological nudity except me. I just used it on my own book. I'll be back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. You know, just the fact that we are arguing over Sarah Palin indicates it is a mistake. Do you understand this? In other words, when Obama picked whatever his name is, I keep forgetting, honest to God, I'm not being disrespectful on purpose. I don't have to do anything I don't remember his name. Biden. When Obama picked Biden, I didn't hear any dissension from either side. There was no issue. He's an old line Democrat, smokestack. He could have been, you know, hammered on the fact that he's a backroom dealer and he's old and he's not fresh. And Obama says he's new and fresh. And here he's selling an old guy like that. No one said a thing. It wasn't that controversial. It was almost to be expected. And he specifically picked Biden because he lacked experience. And Biden represented old school experience for the people who were questioning Obama's lack of experience. The minute McCain picked this woman who no one ever heard of, outside of a few encircled people, all of a sudden, bingo, It's a huge controversy. Forget about the liberal media. They don't matter to me. I am talking about within the conservative world, my world. I don't live in a bubble. I speak to a few people here and there who I respect. Not one of them likes this selection. I got calls immediately from people who are very intelligent who said, oh, my God, he committed Harry Caray here. Why did he do this? So now many of you have been listening to various radio shows and reading the Republican blogs, and you think that she's the new Joan of Arc who's going to save the Republican Party. My friends, you're wrong. That's my opinion. This is one man's opinion. Kindly don't get mad at me for having an opinion, because that will make you somebody who you really don't want to be. I am telling you this is an error. Eileen in New York, do you agree or disagree? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. For me, the big issue is not Palin herself, but McCain's judgment. He made that pick for a political reason, not for ability. She's a woman. She's evangelical. And it's ultimately his decision, no matter what his advisor said.
And where is the mistake in the decision? In your opinion, what is the mistake in the decision, if there is any?
I think it's her lack of experience.
Bingo. So now let's go back to my main point from last Friday. What was McCain's chief strength over Obama? Experience. Every time he emphasized that for the last 3 weeks, his numbers were going up, McCain. Right or wrong?
Right.
Right. I have experience. Obama's unknown. I have experience. Obama's inexperienced. I have experience. He has no experience. And his numbers kept going up. Then what does he do? To counter the experience factor, he brings in the most inexperienced woman he could ever find. Now, that's total insanity.
It's just, and he did it for political reasons.
I don't even think he did it. You want to hear something worse? He didn't do it at all. I think that it was done for him by the puppet masters. They claim that he wanted Lieberman right up to the end and that he met her for 15 minutes and that was the end of it. I think they forced this woman. They foisted her on him. All right. Well, look, this will be discussed for years to come. That's all there is. San Francisco. Suzanne, where do you stand on the Palin pick?
Hey, I'm outraged. When I heard that, I knew he blew.
Are you outraged at me for saying she should withdraw?
I'm outraged at him. I thought he was an intelligent man. I was going to vote Republican. I just can't believe this. I said, okay, he blew the election right then.
Okay, so you agree with me, and you're a woman, I'm not. But why do you say that? What is it? Again, the inexperience factor?
Yeah, who is this woman?
Thank you. Who is this woman? I think she's an insult to women.
Raised four children. I stayed home with them. What is she going to do with these five kids? And leaving them alone?
Thank you. That's even a better question. Who's going to raise her children now?
The husband, he looked like a little wimp. I don't know.
Maybe they want nanny care. Maybe the Republican conservative Alaskans want the government to send in some care workers to raise their children while she's running the country. I don't know. The whole thing is topsy-turvy, Suzanne. But, you know, the big picture here is that it's an insult to really strong women. It's an insult to think that just because she wears a skirt, they're going to vote for her. It's an insult to think that just because she's a woman, they're going to jump through hoops for her. Women are far too smart for that, Suzanne. They want someone they can look up to. Women are cattier than men. I know that, okay? I love women. I've been raised on a woman. I'm the son of a woman, as any human being would be. But the fact of the matter is women are very, very picky about other women. They're even pickier about other women than men are about other men. I think you'd have to agree with me on that. Women are not easily sold over on other women, not sold on other women very easily. Let's put it to you that way. They need to say, this woman is, you know what? I can look up to her. She's better than me. They don't want a woman who's like them. They want someone who's better than them. And I don't think this woman meets that qualification.
What do we do?
What? You need someone better than you, right?
No, but how do we get rid of her? What do we do?
How? Well, you'd think some of the advisors to the McCain camp, in between their bar hopping, would listen to the Savage Nation. We're telling them to have Palin withdraw her nomination now.
Savage.
I'd rather get up where the guns never let up. Brothers die slow when the game gets sped up. Hope it's just a broke or old always getting wet up.
All right. That's another one of the wonderful Obama supporters outside the Republican National Convention. And, of course, we don't want more of that. We want less of that, which is why I'm constructively suggesting that McCain change course. Now, look, when you make a mistake in life and you find out you made a mistake, the best thing to do is immediately correct course. Say something. You don't dig your heels in. People are not that dumb. At least that's my opinion. Now, you may have a different opinion. I'm sure many of you do. New York City, Jack on WOR, your opinion, please.
Well, I'm in full agreement with you, Michael. And more emphatically, my wife. Let me just put this in perspective. Before McCain made this moronic pick, I was going to hold my nose and vote for him, and I was begging my wife to do the same. My wife just so despises McCain. She said to me, "If he picks Romney, you'll appreciate this. If he picks Romney, maybe I'll go into that booth with about 20 clothespins on my nose and pull the lever for him." After he did this, not only now is she not going to vote for him, she's going to vote for Bob Barr. I'm probably.
Oh God, Bob Barr! Please, you don't need 20 clothespins for him. You need to put yourself in a clothing bag and zip it shut to vote for him.
I cannot believe McCain. I'm still stunned. I'm still shaking my head going, what got into him? What? And I agree with you, by the way. You know, Tom Ridge, Joe Lieberman, okay, they're not pro-life. But you know something? They got a heck of a lot more experience than this woman.
Right. Exactly right. You say, all right, Tom Ridge. He went to work for Albania. That's a deficit. No, most people don't even know where Albania is. That's a strike against them, but nobody would even understand what that means after running Homeland Security to go to work for the Kosovo Liberation Army. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. But let's put that aside. At least you can say the man ran the Homeland Security Department. Okay? Boom. Experience. If, God forbid, McCain should get sick, you got another guy there who could take over the reins. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work with this sled dog woman.
I agree. And Michael, I have one more question for you. If he really felt he had to take the political leap and pick a woman, okay, what's wrong with Kate Bailey Hutchison? What's wrong?
Right. Now, there's another one who is extremely liberal, another rhino, Republican in name only, but experienced, dignified, been around. Women could say, okay, she's a gray lady. I could look up to her. I'll vote. In other words, she would have been a neutral. The positives and the negatives on Hutchison would have negated each other, and they would have gone for it. McCain would still be the reason they voted. In other words, she wouldn't have drawn the ticket down. She wouldn't have drawn it up. This one is not galvanizing voters in one direction, as they are saying. I believe they're driving women away from the polls for McCain. Women are insulted. Let me put it this way. Most of the intelligent women I know are now repelled by this choice.
And my wife being one of them, or even Elizabeth Dole. I mean, you know, this is some. I mean, just I don't even know what to say anymore because I just don't get it.
Now, but before you go, your wife is a conservative, correct?
My wife is a in politically correct terms, she'd be called reactionary. But yeah, she's conservative.
She's more conservative than you are, in other words.
More conservative than
I. Right, and by the way, most women who are conservative are more conservative than their husbands who are conservative, because women generally are more protective of the family, and men are kind of indifferent in some ways. The women understand the danger we're in. The women also understand that a military needs a strong leader with great experience, not an unknown quantity. Let's try her out. Let's see if she can run the military. That's all. Oh, she'll learn on the job. Now, how does an F-18 fly exactly? I'm not sure, but I'll read up on it tonight while feeding the baby.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Thank
also.
You. What? Go ahead. No, as long as you agree with me, keep going.
On leaving the, I'm just, if I don't vote, I'm going to vote, but I'll just leave the presidential slate blank. I may do that.
I may go in the booth and vote on every other issue. There are very important ballot issues in California on homosexual marriage and banning it forever and sending it to the ash heap of history where it belongs. I mean, I'm certainly not going to miss the election, but I don't think I'm going to vote for this ticket. I'm sorry. I want to change. It was enough for me to put up with the McCain-Feingold, the McCain-Kennedy immigration. But, you know, one slap in the face after another is too much. This is a cold knockout for me.
I'm with you on this, Michael. I mean, the reason I won't cast the protest vote for my wife will, and you may shoot me for this, I'm sorry. My first election was 1976, and I'm going to admit to you, I voted for Jimmy Carter because I was so angry at Nixon and so angry at Ford.
And so what? I'll admit that the first election I ever voted in was in New York City. I was 21 years old, and I voted for the mayorship. And the mayor I voted for, I think, was John Lindsay, a super liberal, because I thought he was a guy who could run the city because he looked good. He was handsome, he had a lot of girlfriends, and he looked like he could run the city. I had no idea about politics at that time.
Yeah.
All right, well, now I know a little bit more about politics and what it really means, and I thank you for the call. The time is 39 minutes after the hour. We will go to Houston, Texas now. We'll see what the South has to say. Jim on line 5, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking the call. I have to say I'm not one of these lockstep Republicans like you've been referring to, but as I've been listening to the callers, I don't think I can consider myself part of the Savage Nation today either. I'm totally excited about the pick. I think that if he were to draw back now, it would be political suicide on his own. And I think one flaw in your thought is, what if Romney has already declined the offer?
Well, has he declined the offer? He was on the stage last week with him. So he was marching around.
I understand, but you make it sound like, hey, all he's got to do is do this, and then Romney picks. I would have loved to have seen Romney too.
Well, let's turn it around. What is it about Palin that you find so appealing?
I think her conservative nature, from what I've read, hadn't been much. I don't believe she's a lawyer, which I think it ought to come down to a real simple question. You know, McCain's not a lawyer.
Do you think that if McCain became debilitated in office, she could run the United States military, the United States economy, and also get bills through Congress?
I do. Now, you know, hey,
you
I'm
do.
Getting a lot of faith.
Well, now you're very naive, my friend, because then you don't know a thing about how the government works. The ability to get bills through Congress is very complicated. One of the masters of this was Johnson. On the Democrat ticket. He was a master politician at getting bills through. It doesn't matter what your politics are. What matters is whether or not you can convince people who disagree with you to vote with you. How does this woman do that when she has zero experience in Congress?
I think that she's got to have a good support staff around her. There would be no doubt about that. But I think at this point, what's happening up there in Washington now isn't working. We talk about that almost every day. It's just crazy. Now, I'd also like to say, go back, your previous caller, oh, his wife is going to, you know, not going to vote for anybody. I've spoken to the two most important women in my life, and that's my wife and my mother, both conservatives, both watched her acceptance speech, and I think also we're probably jumping too quick on this. Let's let the week play out. Let her get a little bit of audience time to the nation, and I think, no offense to you, I think you might come around. I think some of the other people might come around, too.
Well, that's what makes for politics, which is interesting opinions. I've certainly expressed mine over the last 90 minutes or so, and I understand that it's not a popular a position. People have been very angry at me for daring to step out of line, but they don't understand what a conservative independent really means. It's very easy to go along with the party and say, hail, hail, she's wonderful. I don't believe it's a right choice. I still don't. But I thank you for the call, my friend. I hope that we go away friends, not mad at each other. Texas, Kay, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I usually agree with you, but I have to disagree this time, and I'll tell you the reason why. I think that you're thinking with a mindset of common sense, intelligent, rationality, but I think a lot of Americans, your generation and younger, think image. And this is a pretty image. Cindy McCain on one side, Sarah Palin on the other. It's going to look good. She's a fresh face. I think it's going to work for him. I really do. I think if America wants...
Wait, hold it. With which part of the electorate will it work for him?
Well, like I said, the younger generation of conservatives, I think it will, because she has fought supposedly against her own party and is kind of seen as unusual because of that, and I think that's very appealing.
Well, I heard that she was anti... she was against pork barrel spending, but she's received a lot of it herself while she was the mayor. That's certainly already playing out. You know, the message that they try to put out is coming apart already.
Right, but that's why I think there's a whole huge population of people in America that go for image. I think if you look, you know, like you were saying yesterday, you can remember before there was television, there's a lot of us who have absolutely no concept of life without television, and the image became so powerful, and the image that this is going to...
The image is what, old man, young woman?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the image now?
Attractive.
That's all well and good. If the young woman had been a congressman or a senator, the young woman would be an asset.
Mm-hmm.
But no one knows this woman. She's an untested factor. I'm not willing to gamble my nation on an untested factor, not with Obama and not with Palin. Now, if McCain were 52 years old, I don't think I'd be having this conversation. He is not 52. He is 72. Doesn't that worry you at all?
Yes, actually it does, but also, not that it is this way, but it's supposed to be that we have three branches of the government and the president isn't a king that, you know, runs everything. I know that, you know, we kind of forget that from time to time, but...
Well, that's all well and good, but we're all arguing over who should be president because it seems to be the most important branch of government today. In fact, it is. In fact, the executive branch of government has... aggrandized more power than it ever was supposed to have. And right now, the president is as close to a dictator as he's ever been in American history. I think we're moving right into the ancient Caesars. And I certainly don't want to see Obama the Caesar in office. I'd rather see McCain the Caesar in office. And I think for McCain to win, he needs to pick a more experienced vice presidential candidate. That's one man's opinion. I hope you'll hear me. I think I've made my point. Can we move on now? I doubt it. I doubt that we can move on right now, and I don't know if you're willing to listen to anything other than this. Now, we have a montage of a reaction to Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol Palin, 17, being pregnant out of wedlock, and Obama saying families are off limits. Let's listen to clip 12.
I can't think any family would be happy about a 17-year-old daughter having a child out of wedlock.
It's just, it's startling, you know, for someone's child who's running for that position to be pregnant.
Like, if you can't keep your daughter under control, how are you going to keep America under control? Like, I don't see how that's going to work.
There you go.
Well, that sounds like a CBS report, all right, where they went and got three kids who are, I'm sure, themselves wild in the streets. You know, that doesn't sound real to me, any of it. That's a setup. Let's listen to the great one, the ascended master, the Messiah himself, the second coming, Barack Obama, on this in clip 13.
Let me be as clear as possible. I have said before, and I will repeat again, I think people's families are off limits. And people's children are especially off limits. This shouldn't be part of our politics. It has no relevance to Governor Palin's performance as a governor or her potential performance as a vice president.
Mm-hmm. Now 15.
An unnamed McCain advisor is quoted on Reuters as saying the despicable rumors have been spread by liberal blogs, some even with Barack Obama's name in them.
I am offended by that statement. There is no evidence at all that any of this involved us. We don't go after people's families. We don't get them involved in the politics. It's not appropriate and it's not relevant. Our people were not involved in any way in this. And they will not be. And if I ever thought that there was somebody in my campaign that was involved in something like that, they'd be fired.
Now we go to First Lady Laura Bush on John McCain picking Sarah Palin as his running mate. Let's listen to 16.
I've met her at National Governors Association meetings when she's been to Washington for those. We were just with her August 4th on our way to Korea, on the way to the Olympics in China. We stopped in Alaska to refuel, to see our troops there, and Governor Palin was with us there. She's terrific. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled that John McCain picked her. I'm going to get what I wanted, which is to be able to vote for a Republican woman.
Now 17, please.
I'm really, really excited about her. I think people, as they get to know her, are going to be so impressed with her grit and her sensible judgment. She's just a person who really, really has shown how terrific women can be and how strong women can be in political office.
Yeah. Well, the word terrific worries me because I've heard it for too many years coming out of public relations agencies. I would like to know what we mean by terrific. I have no idea what terrific means, especially when it's overused in this sense. But all right, so there's two opinions on it, and that, of course, shows there's a controversy about the selection, which means it's already split the conservative ticket. That's all you have to understand. If I'm questioning it, and others are questioning it, and if others are supporting it, then it means it's already split the conservative vote right down the middle, which means it was a mistake. Let's put it to you that way. We wouldn't be having this discussion had he chosen almost anyone else. But out of left field to choose an unknown quantity like this and undermine his strongest card, which is experience and patriotism, is a mistake. It's a mistake precisely because we are so excited over this issue and arguing over it. Don't you get it? Don't you understand that already shows the problem? Barbara in Las Vegas, you see it differently. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello. I've been very surprised over some of the comments made against Sarah Palin, especially the one where it said she couldn't run a dime store. This woman's been governor of a state, for one thing. And to get to that position, I'm sure she had to know a few things. And first of all, Romney cannot get chosen to be vice president because he's a Mormon. He just will not get the votes. And
now, hold on. Let's stop right here. Why is his Mormonism an issue?
They won't vote for him. Hold it.
Who won't vote for him?
The United people of the United States. He will not get enough votes.
Well, wait a minute. You're speaking for your own religious orientation, not for the rest of the United States. What is it about Romney's Mormonism, please explain to me, that offends you?
It does not offend me. I voted for Romney when I could. However, the rest of the country, many people in the country do not want Romney because he's a Mormon, and it's because of the plurality of wives.
But he doesn't believe in that ancient view of life. He's a modern Mormon. That'd be like saying because a man is a Muslim, you can't vote for him. When in fact he's not an Islamist in a throwback state. It doesn't make sense to me. The Mormons don't practice that anymore except in very small sects within Mormonism. I don't understand this. This is pure, unadulterated rubbish. I would vote for Romney in a second. And I'm not a Mormon. And I'll be right back.
Savage.
My husband, and knowing his spirit and the way he operates and what he thinks, getting to know her a bit, they're a perfect match because she's a reformer and she thinks outside the box the way my husband does. They think about what's best for the country. Washington is just a quagmire of a mess right now. And
all right, let's stop right. You know, I'm a Cindy McCain fan, but when I hear anyone say they think outside the box, I turn it off. Because by definition, anyone in government cannot think outside the box. They are the box. There's no way you can think outside the box if you are the box. And I'm sorry, but I've read too much about mandarins in ancient China to believe a word about being outside the box while you are the box, creating the boxes for the rest of us. So I don't buy it. That's all. It's as simple as that. I mean, I hope that McCain, I don't think he can do it right now. It's just nuts. The whole thing is nuts. Big mistake. My opinion. You disagree. You agree. What's the difference? You disagree. Now, there's another element. Karen, quickly in Austin, you have great eyes. Tell everybody about the blanket. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you, Dr. Savage. I mean, this woman is a fraud. She says she's proud that her daughter decided to keep her baby and all of this adulthood stuff, but they covered the stomach with a blanket during the VP announcement. And I wondered, I looked at that and I said, why in the world?
See, now you're not the first woman to say that. You are the second. And I will tell you that this is backfiring on the women who have brains out there. You can't cover the belly of your pregnant daughter one day and the next day say, I am proud that my daughter is pregnant the next.
Absolutely. And you're right.
Yeah.
As women, we're not going to just vote because it's a woman. We're going to vote because she's qualified.
All right, so you're not mad at me. You're still gonna buy psychological nudity. You're not demanding your money back yet.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
I mean, I've been
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We both grew up working with our hands. I was just your average hockey mom in Alaska. We're busy raising our kids. I was serving as the team mom and coaching some basketball on the side. I got involved in the PTA and then was elected to the city council and then elected mayor of my hometown, where my agenda was to stop wasteful spending and cut property taxes and put the people first.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
God, I can't wait till this election is over already. I'm exhausted from it. It's been going on for since I've been a child. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're arguing over whether Palin was a good choice for the Paleolithic candidate McCain. And I think that Palin pales by comparison to someone else he could have chosen, such as Romney. And I have said to you that we're arguing over this, which proves that it's controversial. Don't you understand that? In other words, if there was no controversy about him choosing a virtual unknown, we wouldn't be having this argument since last week. Now, last Friday, I wrote an editorial on michaelsavage.com. I read it on the show. Wasn't heard by many of you because you were out of town or you weren't listening. And I said, as McCain throwing the election. Today's editorial is a continuation, and it's called, Is It Over for McCain? And my position is quite simple. I believe that McCain's cronies have made a fatal choice. I believe that they ran this gal up the flagpole, and the poll broke from shock. Now, why do I say that? To be clever? Yes. Is there any factual basis for this cleverness? Yes. What is that? The polls, which we all know are unreliable, but they've been consistently unreliable. The very same unreliable polls which have been showing a neck-to-neck race, in fact, with McCain leading before last week's incredible Democratic convention, which was a winner for them. All of a sudden, not after the convention, not immediately after the convention, but immediately after he announced this mistake of Palin, he's now at 42 and Obama's at 50. So my criticism is constructive criticism. I am suggesting that McCain made an error. I don't even think he made it. I believe that the puppet masters of the Republican Party gave Sarah Palin the nod, and they think that women are stupid. The Republican puppet masters think that women are generic. The Republican puppet masters think that Sarah is Hillary. But to millions of Clinton loyalists and other women, I think Sarah is not Hillary, by the way. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that McCain could still be president, but there's only one way for that to happen. And that is for Sarah Palin to say, I have children, I have a sick child, and the more I have thought about how much time I have to devote to my children and the country, I realize I cannot do both. And I'm hereby respectfully withdrawing my nomination as Vice President of the United States. God bless America. God bless John McCain. Then they get a second chance at life. Then John McCain's campaign gets resuscitated. If he doesn't do that, by mere dint of the fact that we are arguing over the wisdom or lack thereof of having picked this unknown, inexperienced woman, means that the conservative vote is now split. That spells disaster in a very close election. That is my opinion. I'm Michael Savage. What's yours? Greensboro. Kevin, you're up on the show. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, it's a bad, bad decision. I was born a New Yorker, so I'm going to tell you like a New Yorker. She's an idealistic, dopey broad. Her idealism crippled her ability to protect her family. And if that happens to our nation, we're in big trouble.
Interesting point of view. Now, would you identify yourself as a conservative?
Half and half, because, you know, I'm pretty radical in some of my ideas. But I would say yes.
Right, how about on the issues of border language and culture? What would you say? Yes, no, maybe.
close the borders, English language, and accept our culture like the immigrants did in the 1900s.
All right, so we agree on many things, but you're saying you would have voted for McCain, or you're not going to vote for McCain, or you'll vote for him anyway?
I'm going to vote for him anyway because I think he's strong and as far as his... Mm-hmm.
And what happens if this old man gets sick in office or, God forbid, worse? Would you feel comfortable with Sarah Palin as commander-in-chief?
No. If the mantle of power falls on her, she's going to be crushed by it. She'll just watch...
Well, there you go. That's exactly what I'm feeling, and I'm not alone on this. How could so many people suddenly be saying, all hail Sarah Palin? Last week we never heard of her. What's wrong with these people to not understand what a disastrous choice this is?
Picture this. The vice president, her, speaking to leaders of other nations whose family values are very strong and very strict. And here she's got this circus going on in her house. How are they going to view her as a representative of the United States?
Well, let's get down to brass tacks since you're a New Yorker. We are now at odds with Mr. Putin, the former head of the KGB, a man who hunted tigers over the weekend, a martial artist who wants to bring back the ex-Soviet Union. What do you think his opinion is of Sarah Palin?
I think he's absolutely thrilled that she's the choice because mm-hmm. she's an easy bone.
See, McCain as a former Navy fighter pilot would engender respect in any man on this planet. I don't care who that man is, no matter what McCain's age, any man who flew combat jets is right away right up there in the stars. And that's why I love McCain. You can't take that away from him. No one can beat that. That's why he was going to beat Obama until this disastrous era.
Absolutely. He cut his feet out from underneath him with this.
Right. Now, so that gets back to what I've been fearing for months. Every time McCain moved up, he would do something that would move him back down. I believe he's being sabotaged from within. I can almost prove it because about 2 months ago, his chief campaign advisor or strategist quit and said he cannot work against Obama. I think McCain doesn't even know how many Brutuses he has around him. And frankly, that worries me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. It's almost like he's lost a little bit of his close-in sight, and he's just letting them lead him on.
All right, we're having this discussion because it is a controversy. Question to the audience, is it over for McCain? Do you agree with me, or do you disagree with me? Do you agree that Sarah Palin should withdraw her nomination and leave the stage in a dignified manner and permit McCain to correct his error and to pick Romney, or if you don't like Romney, pick any of the other gentlemen who are certainly qualified to be the vice president and, God forbid, the president of the United States? Certainly there are people who ran who many of you liked. And you could easily say, well, okay, he's a vice president. We'll never hear from him. He'll do honorary speeches. But if, God forbid, we need someone to step in, fine, I'll take the old glue horse, Fred Thompson. Or fine, I'll take this governor or that governor. But you're not saying that about Sarah Palin unless you're on the payroll of the Republican Party or you are a party hack or you've been brainwashed by the Republican National Committee or you are simply a lockstepper, in my opinion. But then again, that's what makes for interesting politics, which is the differences of opinion. This is Michael Savage. And again, I want to invite you to my website, michaelsavage.com, to see my editorial, Is It Over for McCain?, and to peruse Psychological Nudity, my newly released book, which is already in 1 week, with half an audience, outsold Nancy Pelosi with no publicity whatsoever. I must be doing something right. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
The evangelical vote is being courted by both sides at a level never before seen in maybe any election. The recent so-called Saddleback Forum was a chance for many to hear Barack Obama speak specifically about his beliefs and his religion. Carl Anderson is the CEO and chairman of the board of the Knights of Columbus, a very big group, and he's written a commentary entitled, When Does Life Begin? It was in the Washington Times. Carl Anderson, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be with you again. I appreciate the chance for talking with you.
Give us some background on your commentary.
Well, I think many of us watched the interview with Pastor Rick Warren and Senator Obama and Senator McCain on the question of when does life begin, and When should life be protected? And many of us, well, I'm sure, were surprised by Senator Obama's comment that really this was above his pay grade. Some people thought there shouldn't be too much above the president's pay grade. But the real shocker, I guess it is, that everybody knows that the beginning of an individual's human life begins at conception. And therefore, to say we just don't know that when it's a human being is really very strange. And especially if we don't know at the very beginning, whether it's conception or a few days after conception maybe, surely at the end of pregnancy, when the baby is fully formed and might be born perfectly okay, why can't we agree that that certainly is a child, an unborn child?
Obama's answer was definitely different than the standard answer by those who claim to be religious.
Well, yes. Some people who are supporting Roe v. Wade from a religious perspective will admit, say, yes, I agree that abortion is wrong because we're dealing with human life, but I don't think I can impose my religious view on the country in a diverse country, so I have to accept the Supreme Court's decision. The answer, of course, to that is this is not a matter of imposing religious belief. It's a matter of justice. If this is an innocent human being, then, of course, the law has the responsibility to protect its life. And so that's the answer that a lot of... And besides, when Dr. Martin Luther King was leading the civil rights marches, he was talking about the fact that we are all God, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, because we have the same creator. And so there was a lot of religious motivation in many of our movements in this country to secure rights. So just because you have a religious motivation doesn't mean you can't work for justice.
How did Obama's answer change the way many see him now? Did it?
Well, I think, again, it was a big surprise for many people who thought that this was an individual motivated by his Christian faith. Now, of course, one of the things that Christianity does for you is give you answers to these mysteries of life, like when life begins. So Christians understand that their life is a gift from their Creator, and that begins at the very moment of the beginning of their life. So I think it had a big impact on religious people that why doesn't someone like Senator Obama understand this or believe this? In fact, he went on to say, you know, if you believe life begins at conception, then I can't really argue with you about this because you hold it as a matter of faith. The implication, of course, is that he does not hold it as a matter of faith, and I think that surprised many, many people.
How did the follow-up question, when does a baby get human rights, how did that go over with Obama?
Well, you see, this is why so many people who support absolute abortion rights don't want to answer the question of when human life begins. Because if you say, look, this is a human being, then we don't have precedence in the law where you can say, you know, it's okay to take the life of a defenseless, innocent human being for another reason. So if you say, okay, this is a human being, then there's very, very, very little reason for abortion in the law. And that was the situation in the United States prior to Roe v. Wade, where the life of the mother is to be saved, or maybe in the case of rape and incest, there was the decision by states, we're not going to use the criminal law to penalize that kind of a tragic decision. But that's just a very small fraction of what's going on in the more than 1 million abortions that occur in the United States every year.
Well, I guess Obama studied this topic a little more than one might think.
Well, this is another very interesting aspect of Senator Obama's background. When he was at Harvard Law School, he did the research for Professor Larry Tribe's book, Abortion, the Clash of Absolutes. And Professor Tribe thanks Obama, his student, for doing research in the foreword of that book. So going all the way back to law school, Senator Obama knows a great deal about the legal aspects of abortion, the social aspects of abortion. And so when he takes the kind of absolute position that Professor Tribe talked about in his book, it's clear this, he's been thinking about this for a very long time.
Saddleback was Obama's chance to gain support from the evangelicals. Do you think he failed?
It's very clear that Senator Obama and other candidates as well understand that the evangelical Christian vote, the Catholic vote, is essential to their success. you can tell they've been making a real effort to capture a good size of that vote. But I think Saddleback may be seen, when we look back at it, as his high watermark among evangelical Christians and maybe even Roman Catholics because this answer on pro-life. He may not be able to recover from it. He certainly did not help himself by picking Senator Biden, another pro-abortion Democrat, as his running mate with a long record of supporting Roe v. Wade. So the candidate, ironically, the candidate of change is for absolutely no change when it comes to abortion or Roe v. Wade.
What are your thoughts on Speaker Pelosi's recent comments about when the church recognizes life?
House Speaker Pelosi's comments on Meet the Press just indicate the fact that we've been down this road so often with pro-abortion rights, Catholic public officials, going back to Geraldine Ferraro in 1984, should have been very clear that taking this kind of a position and trying to find legitimacy in the teaching of the Catholic Church for it is essentially a futile act. And so I think Speaker Pelosi's a very smart person. I think she was not well advised on this answer because there's no serious Catholic scholar who really accepts what she's saying here. And in fact, if you look at the Second Vatican Council, which was, of course, the meeting in the 1960s of every bishop in the world, they said the life, the right to life has to be defended from the moment of conception, and abortion is, quote, an unspeakable crime. So her statement is far outside the mainstream of the Catholic Church and Catholic teaching.
Carl Anderson of the Knights of Columbus, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I really enjoyed this. Thanks for having me on again. Take care now.
Savage. Book that I know you've all been waiting for, Psychological Nudity is the title. And here we are, 75 stories from Michael's colorful life history are contained in this limited first edition printing. And you can go to michaelsavage.com and you're going to see the picture of me holding Teddy, my dog. The classic stories I've told on the radio were translated for the written word. And I have to say translated for obvious reasons, because the spoken word and the written word are two different mediums. They're not the same. One Arm Frank, Love by the Sewer Plant, Dead Man's Pants, Savage's Childhood Diet, that's a prescription for a heart attack. Tippy the dog dies and is thrown into a garbage truck. When Pasta Was Spaghetti, From Immigrant Son to Radio Stardom, and many more favorites are in this book, 75, by the way. Are there political stories? A few. The Medical Reason Why Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Debunking Man-Induced Global Warming. Republicans Should Treat Voters Like Restaurant Customers. Psychological Nudity. It's a must for everyone who has read a Savage book. It's an original. Kindly go to michaelsavage.com, review the cover, click, and there it is, and I'll know how many you print. My mother bought me a pair. We didn't have a lot of money, but she knew I wanted these pants really bad. It was the Elvis era, so she went and bought me, very expensive. I don't know what it was, $20 at the time, who knows. But that was a lot of money, and she bought me a pair of electric blue saddle-stitched pants. And I wore them to school. I thought I was Elvis himself. Well, there was a bigger, older kid who just happened to get the same pair of pants the same day. And naturally, we got in a scuffle. He pushed me down, and I ripped them in the knee. Well, I thought that it was the end of the world, because these were the most expensive, beautiful pants I ever had in my life. So the rest of the day, I couldn't sit through the classes. Whatever the teacher said, my mind was somewhere else. My heart was pounding. How am I going to tell my mother? How am I going to tell my mother? So I come home with the pants, hiding it, basically the rip under the overcoat. And I said, Ma, I ripped my pants. So she didn't get mad. She said, let me see them. She said, don't worry about it. I said, you're not going to tell Dad, are you? No, don't worry about it, she said. So all night I couldn't sleep. The next day, the women are talking it over, sitting around that little table, you know, in that little house in Queens, and they're moving the crumbs around and talking, and they decided what to do. They took the pants to a certain tailor, and the word came back, don't worry, Michael, the pants can be weaved. Now, I didn't know what pants can be weaved meant. I don't think they do that anymore, because clothing has become something different than it was then. We throw everything away. But I knew from that moment on everything would be good, and it was. The pants were weaved. So what can I tell you? That's what a mother's for, I guess, is to heal even the broken pant.
Savage.
The Russian-Georgian conflict is something that is not going away, with both sides claiming to be justified in the actions that they're taking. Steve Levine is the chief foreign affairs writer for Business Week and author of Putin's Labyrinth. He was a foreign correspondent for 18 years and joins us today to give us his insight into this matter. Steve Levine, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Nice to talk with you again.
What do you see going on over there, Stephen?
The answer is that Russia is attempting to use Georgia to express its intention to be, again, a great power in the world, and certainly in what it regards as its own backyard. And part of that is that it does not recognize the real sovereignty of the former Soviet states. It regards Georgia, for example, as part of Russia. And so that's why we see Putin coming out with a plan to establish a military presence on Georgian territory, not South Ossetia, not Abkhazia, that goes without saying, but in Georgia proper, and including in the ports that have nothing to do with this war at all, but are part of the equation in the sense that Georgia earns money through oil pipelines, the oil corridor that end up in these ports.
Is Russia targeting Georgia because of our interest there, or is this an internal conflict?
It was strictly an internal conflict that has become a larger one now that Russia has realized how valuable this incursion into Georgia can be. I don't go along with the conspiracy theories that Russia sought from the beginning to give the West a black eye in Georgia. It was an internal conflict. Putin despises Mikhail Saakashvili, the president of Georgia, and the feeling is the same from Saakashvili's side. But once they were in there, this is an area that the U.S. stamped as a strategic interest starting a decade ago. Russia is saying, you think this is your sphere of influence. It is not. It is ours.
How does this affect Medvedev? Is he still a popular puppet?
Sure. Two answers to that. One is that Medvedev's position is not damaged at all by this. He's the president. It was always assumed that Putin was calling the shot behind the throne, so he'll be fine in office, and you've seen him deliver his various bellicose statements parroting Putin's own. But where he is hurt was this was his moment to express himself as an individual power, and he lost his moment. He could have, from the outset, been the one to express Russia's outrage with Georgia's attack on South Ossetia and be the one publicly to send the army in, to fly down, to show that he is the commander-in-chief. Instead, he froze like a deer in the headlights, and Putin did all of that from Beijing, from the Olympics. And so Medvedev is in a position where he's trying to catch up now, and really, I'm viewing him because of this. He might be able to recover. He might learn on the job, but as it stands right now, he's a one-term president, in my opinion.
What started this conflict? Was this Putin's plan all along, or are the Russians really trying to protect the people of South Ossetia?
It has nothing to do with protecting people there. Putin could give a hoot about protecting people. The evidence of that is his war in Chechnya. It is the way that he's reacted to crises since he's become president, which is that the lives of Russians are secondary to the expression to the defense of the Russian state. It is entirely a matter of him showing that this all of this space, the whole Caucasus, including Georgia, is Russia's sphere of influence. And it's started out, Russia and Georgia have a very specific relationship. Russians have an irrational, in my view, distaste for for Georgia and the Georgians' expressions of independence. The way they talk about Georgia is with utter contempt, and the Georgians, from their point of view, regard Russia as the force always trying to undermine them, and the invisible devil who's out there trying to get them. So this is the kind of chemistry, the potent chemistry, that is just looking for an outlet in conflict. So they have had a war of words going on for a long time. Russia has banned Georgian goods from coming into Russia. You cannot get a direct flight from Georgia to Russia. You know, they've had shots fired, stray shots fired for some time. And finally, you know, hot tempers overcame cool heads, and you had a war.
How is this going to affect our own upcoming election, if at all? Do you think the people care?
We can't know what place Georgia and Russia will have in, you know, the week or two before the election, before November. But right now, it's having a very significant impact. One, it's having a very significant impact in official U.S. policy. Bush seemed prepared to do nothing, and at least initially in response to Russia's attack, but he was pushed into it by especially McCain's very tough public statements immediately after this began. He was stampeded into it. He didn't want to appear soft next to John McCain. And so you have this very full-throated response. It is having an impact on the election in another way, too. It's another avenue, another theater, in addition to terrorism and Iraq, for both candidates to demonstrate both their toughness, how would they handle crises, and their understanding, their grasp of the complexities of international politics. And I personally think that it's a great event to test both, to have tested both candidates.
Well, do you think this is going to end up with us getting involved?
It tests American policy. It tests American and Western will. It perhaps tests them more than Iraq did. The West, the United States, has few levers to bring Russia back. The impact of Georgia spreads all the way from Western Europe in an arc all the way around Russia and ending at the border of Western China. There are dozens of countries in which this will have an impact. And the reason is that in all of those countries, both Russia and the West have interests. They are watching how the West reacts and who comes out on top in Georgia. And depending on how they perceive the outcome, they will go to one side or the other, to the Russian side or to the American side, in terms of those interests. Just to take one example, Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan has got three of the world's largest oil and natural gas fields. Until now, it's been balancing American, Chinese, and Russian interests, pressure from those three countries in terms of who gets its oil, who gets its natural gas. If it perceives Russia coming out on top in Georgia, it is likely to start disregarding the American wishes on where that oil goes and make a significant accommodation to Russia and send more of that natural gas and oil that direction.
Steve Levine, Business Week, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on again.
Savage.
And welcome back to Michael Savage live here. I pre-recorded a couple of these interviews. It's a good break for you to get off the Palin argument. Now, I'm looking on Drudge, and I see this with astonishment. It says, Pat Buchanan says, McCain took the biggest gamble in presidential history, and it's paying off big time. Well, I guess to Pat Buchanan, old Pat, Palin must look like Eva Braun. because I don't understand what he is talking about. I'm not suggesting she looks like Eva Braun. I think that, Pat, that could be why all of a sudden he's a McCain lover. It could be that she reminds him of old Eva. But you read Buchanan's incomprehensible statements, and he says this. He said, her nomination, which will bring the Republican right home. Is he crazy? I'm the Republican right, and I'm not going home to that party. It says it frees up McCain to appeal to moderates and liberals. Duh. He's only been appealing to moderates and liberals. When has he started appealing to the right? He picks an unknown woman and suddenly the right wing is electrified. Not to me, Pat. I'm sorry. Lederhosen aside, not to me. With his selection of Sarah Palin, John McCain has not only shaken up this election, he may have helped shape the future of the United States and much for the better. Look, these ossified Paleolithic right wingers don't know what they are talking about. These ossified right-wingers are so deeply embedded in Washington, D.C., they have no idea what America thinks. And let me remind you of something else. Pat Buchanan works for MSNBC. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. And many people who you respected for years work for certain interests and express what those certain interests, let us say, want them to express. I am sorry if I am disappointing you by not dancing to the Republican beat. This is the biggest mistake in the history of American politics. That is my opinion. Utah, Colleen, do you agree or disagree with Michael Savage on the Palin pick?
Oh, I 100% agree, and I have to preface this by saying I'm not politically correct, but I am correct all the same. McCain's campaign, I agree, is done and over. Let me explain. It's not the McCain cronies, but instead the incessant complaints of the extreme right-wing evangelical bigots. They don't understand and don't want to understand Mormons, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
But, okay? Colleen, how come I'm not a Mormon, and I find every Mormon I've ever met I get along with? They're the most wonderful people I've ever done business with. Why is there such antipathy to Mormon people?
Well, I think it goes to us being down there proselyting on their turf, so they came to Salt Lake City and tried to convert to Mormons, even though we don't really see it that way.
So in other words, if Mitt Romney appears on a stage with his beautiful wife and his beautiful daughters and grandchildren, the maniacs say that they think that all those women are his wives, including the three-year-old?
Well, it's really strange. There's a lot of pervasive ideas that are outdated. Like, for instance, some people think that polygamy still exists in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but you will not find a member who actually practices polygamy. Well,
certainly it doesn't exist in Romney's family, but to the maniacs, they must think that his wife and daughters and his granddaughters are all his wives.
Yeah, and in Texas, actually, they had the whole RLDS group with the children and the wives being torn from the husbands, that whole thing going on down in Texas. And if you look at the buckets,
but that sect within Mormonism, just to not get too sidetracked, is to modern Mormonism as radical Islam is to modern Islam.
Well,
thanks for the call. It's already too much. No one's hearing a word I'm saying. The people aren't hearing me at all. They made up their minds. See, this is the problem with most people who listen to talk radio. This is the problem that I face every day of my life, which is many of you want to believe either you're for my team or you're against my team. But my friends, I am imploring you to listen to me. I am imploring you to understand what it means to be an independent. I'm imploring you to understand that it's one thing to say you're an independent. It's another thing to actually be an independent. It's very easy to say you're an independent and go along with the Republican locksteppers. Or it's very easy to say you're an independent and go along with the Democrat locksteppers. But a true independent must make an independent decision on virtually at every stage of a campaign such as this, where so much is at stake. And I stick to my views, which I have presented, which is I think it's over for McCain. Now, on what do I base this? Well, in one sense, it's on my gut, in my gut experience. On another, it's the people I respect who are very intelligent and very successful and super right wing, who all called me in shock that he picked this unknown sled driver. But now let's get down to brass tacks. The polls, they're inaccurate, but they've been consistently inaccurate in one direction. But even the inaccurate polls have been showing a neck-to-neck race over the last few weeks leading up to the Democrat convention. All of a sudden, the Gallup Daily Poll says Obama hits 50% for the first time. He's up by 8 points. Well, that's not a result of the DNC meeting last week. It's strictly a result of John McCain's disastrous decision to select this inexperienced, unknown woman from Alaska with a questionable family value system. How do you like that? Is that a good enough paragraph for you? And by the way, let's talk about family values. For years, the Republicans were against single moms. They were for abstinence. Now, all of a sudden, the Republicans are saying it's a family affair and it's their business. I mean, which way do they want it? The answer is they want it every way to Sunday. They can't have it both ways. Either they're one way or the other. The fact of the matter is, my position is a sound one, and there is a way out of this. And the way out of this is the way I presented it. And that is for Ms. Palin, for the sake of the United States of America, to recognize that her ego is not more important than the survival of this country, and we cannot turn it over to the Obama Socialist Party. The fact of the matter is she must withdraw immediately. She must, in a dignified manner, say, I've thought about my responsibilities to my children, especially my sick child, and I cannot devote myself to my children and my nation at the same time, and I hereby respectfully withdraw my nomination. Then the race is on again. Then McCain might have a chance to come back from this disastrous, insane decision. This is one man's opinion. It is only one man's opinion. It is Michael Savage's opinion, and solely my opinion. I do not know what you think, but I know I'll be hearing from you. Go to michaelsavage.com and read my editorial. Is it over for McCain?
Savage.